Paul Nolte is here, Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist for Murphy and Sylvest. Good morning, Paul. Chairman Powell said he will not wait for the 2% interest target to cut rates, but wants greater confidence that interest rates will get there. And what do you make of that?
They've been talking about cutting rates now for the better part of a year since they stopped raising rates July of last year. So the anticipation from Wall Street has been, you know, the next move is going to be down. And certainly coming into this year, we were looking at 6 rate cuts, and now we're down to maybe 1 or 2. And it's been an ongoing theme with the Fed and the Fed governors. They're looking for more data. They want to be have confirmation that inflation is indeed heading in the right direction. We are getting to that 3% level. The idea is that they kind of cut the engines before the plane lands. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why they're talking now about cutting rates, even though we're not at that 2% target. But the fear is that if they wait too long to cut rates, there's damage to the economy and higher unemployment and maybe actually even deflation.
Seems you guys were excited about Bank of America's stronger than expected earnings, huh?
We get excited about earnings season. We're all geeked up on this stuff. But the banking sector as a whole has been really on everybody's radar screen because of the commercial real estate exposure. So we're all taking a look and seeing, you know, how much in holdbacks do they have? What are they holding in reserves for maybe bad loans? And then net interest margin, which is, you know, the difference between what they're paying on the minimal savings account rates that they're paying on and what they're getting for loans. That margin's been actually improving now that rates are higher, but the loan activity remains pretty weak.
What do you make of what happened to tech stocks here lately?
We've been talking about it for a long time, and we're finally getting a break in some of the tech rally, and we're starting to see now a rally in small cap stocks, value, et cetera. And I think investors now are starting to say, you know, we've gotten great gains out of Microsoft, NVIDIA, Apple, et cetera, and starting to take a little bit of money off the table. And as we've talked about Apple, the value of Apple, if you were to sell all the shares of Apple out there, you could buy the entire Russell 2000 index. So it doesn't take a lot of money to move those small stocks, and that's what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. Last week alone, the Russell small cap index was up 6%. So we're seeing that rotation, and it's encouraging to us at least to see a continuation of that rally.
As you mentioned, it's the earnings season, and so we get some numbers now, and then there's a quiet period, isn't there?
There is for the Fed. The Fed has their quiet period starting into this week. Earnings season really cranks up next week. This is the kind of the prelude to the tech storm next week. But the Fed governors, this is their last week to be chatting up the markets, and they go into their quiet period ahead of their July meeting. The anticipation is that they're not going to do anything in July, but I think they may set the stage for a September rate increase.
And as you point out in your newsletter, rate cuts now don't necessarily mean a better economy later, because there's kind of a delayed reaction, isn't there?
Yeah, the economists call it a lag effect. So if I cut rates today, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden we all go out and borrow a ton of money or spend a lot of money. It takes a long time for those rate decreases or increases to make a way through the economy. The argument is today that the slowdown that we're starting to see in different parts of the market or different parts of the economy is a direct result of the 2022 rate increases. So it's taken a year and a half, 2 years for some of those rate increases to start actually grabbing the economy and slowing things down.
And so the Fed has to be careful not to, if they're going to cut rates, not to wait too long on
right.
the other
you
side
don't,
of this.
Yeah, you don't want to overstay your welcome. And that's really what Powell's comment was yesterday, is that that's part of the reason why they're talking about cutting rates now as things slow down and trying to stick that landing.
So the consumer price index, that's the big number, isn't it?
It is, because, again, it includes you're getting a lot of food and energy. You're getting a pretty broad swath of data. Producer prices is kind of the lead into consumer. Then the PCE is, although everybody gets excited about it, it's kind of a non-event because a lot of those numbers are pre-calculated, if you will. But the consumer price index actually did come down. It did not rise last month, and I think that's what gave investors a lot of confidence last week to buy stocks and bonds. Yields have come down dramatically on the 10-year. We're now down below 4.2% on the 10-year bond.
How closely will you be looking at retail sales numbers?
Very closely, because that's really a very good read on what the consumer is doing and how they're spending their money, where they're spending it, and how much debt they're taking on to do it. So we get those numbers a little bit later on today. It'll be interesting to see, again, the spending habits and where we see strength and weakness in those retail sales numbers.
And as we get closer to Election Day here, how does that affect the markets, or does it at all?
You know, it's interesting. I don't think it really does impact it. We, you know, depending upon who you're talking to, you can argue that with all the events of the last week, that there's now, at least in the betting polls, if you will, that Trump is the presumptive nominee and winner in November, and there are Trump trades that benefit from him being president. So if you're reading the markets, you could argue that the markets are reacting to an eventual Trump victory. I'll prefer to wait till November. And again, so the banking sector is one, technology to a certain extent, because J.D. Vance is now his vice presidential nominee. He has been very favorable toward the tech sector. So there's a few things that you're starting to see move in the market as a result of polling now that indicates Trump is well ahead of Biden.
Sounds like you're holding your bets, though, a little bit.
I'm not making any bets until November 8th, 9th, a couple days after
the election. You'll make your prediction then.
That's exactly right.
For Murphy and Sylvester, Paul Nolte. Thanks, Paul. Have a good day.
We'll talk to you.